This morning I want to talk about contentment for just a few minutes. And as we get started, I believe the song that we sung just moments ago illustrates very well this topic. It was written by a man who was inspired by a rich man who was practically bankrupt. And being very down and very distressed, he went for a drive one day. And he came upon a girl who was playing out in the front yard. And the house that she was playing in front of was broken down. The windows were out. They were papered over. The roof was practically destroyed. And he felt like talking for a few moments. So he struck up a conversation with the girl. And in time, he expressed his sorrow that she had to live in such a terrible situation. And she said, don't feel sorry for me. Don't worry about me, because my father is building a mansion over that hilltop over there, and I don't know when he's going to be done with it, but he'll be done with it soon. And so this rich man, who was almost bankrupt, was encouraged by this and went and told the author of the song, and he wrote this song as a result of that. I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one that's silver lined. Don't think me poor or deserted and lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a robe, and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander but walk the streets that are pure gold. This man learned something about contentment from this girl. And I want to talk about that. I want us all to think about ourselves. I want us all to be provoked in our thinking. I want you to test yourselves. I want you to examine yourself this morning. Are you content? And I'm going to challenge you from the Scriptures, perhaps in ways you've never challenged yourself before. There is another verse of that song, Mansion Over the Hilltop, that's not in this version of our song, and it talks about trials. Though often tempted, tormented, and tested, and like the prophet, my pillow of stone, and though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion my own. The first question I have for you this morning: are you content when experiencing trials? And as Gary already mentioned in our prayer this morning, all of us here, I suppose, have some sort of trial going on. Perhaps it's some of the college students leaving home for the first time, and they're with us this morning, and this is a trial for them to leave home, and now there are whole sets of things they have to do for themselves now and make decisions for themselves they've never had to make. Perhaps it's those who are struggling from their health and other things, such as those things going on with their job. Perhaps it may be loneliness. Perhaps it may be the loss of loved ones. Whatever it is, are you content in trials? If you still have your Bible open to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and our scripture reading this morning, and I want us to look once again at verses 9 and 10. This is the Apostle Paul. And he has said to me, this is the Lord to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And let me ask you, do you do this? Do you glory in the weakness that you are experiencing, because it demonstrates, it is a testimony of the power of God and the power of God's word in your life? Or do we walk around all down and all depressed as the rest in the world? Are we content when experiencing these trials? And you remember the Apostle Paul, we won't take time to read, but in verse 11, as he lists his trials, imprisonments and beatings, and in five times having 39 lashes, beaten with rods and stone three times, shipwrecked on frequent journeys and dangers of rivers and robbers and countrymen and Gentiles and all sorts of things. And remember in chapter 12, the thorn in the flesh. And so he is our example of being content in trials and using those trials to his benefits. Let me ask you this. Are you content in your trials enough so that you rejoice? Rejoice in your trials because you know the benefit. And Paul says, Romans 5:34, we also glory in tribulations. And James in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, consider it all joy when you fall into various trials. And so are you rejoicing and do you have all joy? Are you content? Not angry with God, not blaming God, not all down and depressed and sad and thinking that life is oh so bad. Do you pray thanking God, thank you for such a great life. Thank you for blessing me in so many ways. Thank you for all the many things that I have to be content and to glory in your trials. Well, I want to now get to something that may strike even a little bit more to each and every one of us. I want to talk about your money. And I want to talk about your money for most of the lesson. Are you content? Free from the love of money. Content with what you have. Now I tried to find some illustrations of this and I found two and I liked both of them, so I'm going to share both of them with you very quickly and then we're going to look at a scripture. There was a rich man who one time came upon a fisherman. The fisherman was just taking his ease beside his boat. And the rich man began to question the fisherman. He said, "Why aren't you out there fishing?" And the fisherman then replied, "Because I have enough fish." Well, the rich man then asked, "Why don't you catch more fish than you need?" And the fisherman said, "Well, what good would that do?" And the rich man then responded, "You could earn more money. You could buy a better boat. You could go fish deeper in the sea and catch more fish. You could purchase nylon nets, catch even more fish, and make even more money. So you'd have a fleet of boats and be rich like me." The fisherman asked, "Then what would I do?" And the rich man answered, "Then you could sit down and enjoy life." The fisherman thought about it, gazing out to sea, and said, "What do you think I'm doing right now?" And that's the way we look at it, isn't it? Sometimes we're so discontent. Sometimes we're not satisfied with what we have. Sometimes we're not satisfied with our money. And we want more and more and more. Why? So, well, we can retire one day and we can enjoy life. I tell you what, the saddest thing in the world is see someone who forsakes their family, who forsakes the Lord for money so that they can retire 10 years early. And they never make it to age 55. What a wasted, wasted life. Well, another illustration. Persian legend. I don't know if it's true or not. Ali Hafed, he was a rich man. He owned a farm and he had all sorts of possessions. And one day a man from the east came and visited and told him about diamonds and how rich he could be with diamonds. And so he goes out and searches for diamonds. He sells his farm. He sells all of his possessions, his orchards, his grain fields, his gardens, everything. And he goes and searches for diamonds. He becomes a poor man. He loses all of his wealth. He eventually commits suicide. Now one day the man to whom he sold his farm was out with his camel, and he took his camel to get a drink in the stream. And he saw something sparkling in the sand. And he looked and he found a diamond. There was discovered the diamond mine of Golconda. The richest diamond mine known to man from which the Hope Diamond came. And of course, here he was so rich. And he went out to look for even more riches. He lost everything. He finally committed suicide. And there he had the richest diamond mine in all the world on his own property. But did he look on his own property? No, he went all over the world to look for that which he did not have. And he had the very best all the time. And isn't that the way we are sometimes? We're never satisfied with what we have. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. The fishermen by the boats. The diamond mine. Turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 13. And I want us to notice what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 13. And we're first of all going to look at verse 5. And as we look at this, I hope you are challenging yourself this morning. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. And are you content? We'll talk about being ambitious in just a moment and how we can be ambitious and content at the same time. But are you content with what you have? Are you happy? Are you satisfied? The word content means you're happy with what you have. You don't have this burning desire to go out and get more and more and more. Are you content and free from the love of money? I want you to notice within this context, verse 5, how we are content. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? And so this is how we are content. We are satisfied. Let me ask you this. Who is in control of the world? Who is in control of our life? Who is the power within our life? You know, if God wants us to have millions and millions and billions and trillions of dollars to be the richest person in the world, do you think it's within the power of God to do that? Why do we waste our time, our energy, and why is it we get so distracted from the things that are important to be consumed sometimes with building wealth? There's nothing to be afraid of. There is nothing to fear. God is in control. God will never forsake us. As we humble ourselves under His mighty hand and He exalts us in due time. Therefore, content with what we have. Well, let me challenge you just a little bit more. Are you content with your wages? Are you content with your wages? Free from the love of money, content with what you have, content with your wages. Now, this doesn't mean that you're not working hard. You're a Christian. You're working as unto the Lord. You are working hard. And as a Christian, you're dependable. You're the greatest employees any employer could ever have. And yet there is a part of you that is content with your wages. In other words, if you never make any more money, if you make less money, you will be content. Turn your Bibles with me over to Luke chapter 3. And I want you to notice here, you remember that as John the Baptist began his ministry, and many were coming to him and repenting and being baptized, and they were asking what they should do. And in verse 14, some soldiers were questioning him, saying, and what about us? What shall we do? And he said to them, do not take money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. In other words, don't rob other people. Don't take advantage of other people. Earn your money honestly. Do not be greedy. Indeed, we are ambitious, but we are content. If we never move up in our job, we're satisfied with that, although we do our best and we work our hardest. And isn't it like I suppose all of us at some time. Well, we've lost track with this. I'll tell you a little story about myself. Many years ago, I found myself thinking about this brand new shiny gas grill. And I thought about all the things I could do with a brand new shiny gas grill. And I would make all sorts of good food, and we would have such a good time, and we would have friends over, and life would be so much better with this brand new shiny gas grill. Well, I had a grill, and I wasn't using it. And I don't know at that time if I had a gas grill or I had a charcoal grill. I know I'd had a gas grill before. Maybe I had one at that time. But my gas grill was really small, and it wasn't shiny, and it didn't look like it would impress anybody. And you know, I came to a realization. Alan, you are wasting your life away dreaming about things you do not have. Why don't you enjoy what you have right now? Why don't you put it to good use? Why are you not content with what you have? Why do you want more money to have more things? Because you're not going to be happy then, just like you're not happy now. And I suppose all of us have done that at some time. But all of us need to grow up in the Lord, where we are content with our wages. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 6, and I want you to remind all of us of the teaching of Jesus. You know this so very well. And I just want to pull out a couple of verses. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven." And as we think about ourselves this morning, are you storing up your treasure in heaven? Is your first priority storing up treasure in heaven? Or is the first priority going to work, making more money to buy more things so you'll be just as unhappy? Isn't that the human way? If anything, we are preoccupied with storing treasure in heaven, not preoccupied with storing up treasure on earth. Verse 25, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Is not life more than going to work and getting a paycheck? But the human way is, that's all of life. And verses 33 and 34. "But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Let me give you an illustration. Two salesmen working in the same office. One salesman works as much as he can. He lies to make sales. He oversells people, sells them more than they really need to make a bigger commission. He never goes to church. He rarely does anything for anyone else. He is consumed with making money. The other salesman works a reasonable number of hours. He is the best employee that he can be. He's turned down promotions that would take him away from his family and from church. He never lies. He never cheats. He sells people what they need, no matter what he makes. He's very involved with church, and he regularly visits people in need and helps them. Which one is storing up treasure in heaven? And which one is satisfied with their wages? Now let's plug ourselves into those illustrations. And into which do we fit? We may not lie, we may not cheat, we may not steal, but we may be preoccupied with our professions to the point that that's almost all that we do besides some recreation. And coming to church three times a week. Which one does that fit into? Are you content with your wages? That's a hard question. To be ambitious, to be striving to do the best that we can do, to be providing for ourselves and our families, and to be able to help others, but yet to be content with our wages. If I never get another raise, I'm okay with that. I'll be content with that. Well, let me challenge you a little bit more. Would you be content as a homeless person? And maybe this is the ultimate test. This is the ultimate challenge if you can put yourself in that position. A few weeks ago, I went to rent a U-Haul truck right over there at the corner of 54 and 41. And I went over to pick up the truck, and I'd paid for it the day before because they don't open until 10 o'clock in the morning. I wanted to get it early, so I just left it there. I went early the next morning, and I picked it up. And there was a homeless man who had stayed in the truck right across the way from the truck I was picking up. And I looked back, and there looked like to be a whole community of homeless people back in the woods there. They were all set up with all sorts of things that they needed. And that picture is in my mind, and I don't know if I'll ever forget it, because I put myself living in the back of that truck, and I put myself back in the woods, living in the woods at the corner of 54 and 41. Then I put myself living there with my family. Try that one on for size. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I tell you, brethren, if our attitude, if we are called to live for whatever reason, maybe it's some great famine and persecution, as individuals who do not have homes, would we be content, happy, rejoicing? 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Verse 8, if we have food and covering with these, we shall be content. Will you be content living in your car month after month? Will you be content living in a homeless shelter? Would you be content begging others just so that you had the bare minimum as to what you needed? We read about people begging in the Bible. You see it a little bit here. Oftentimes in this country, there's a lot of corruption that goes on with it, but in other countries, there is no welfare. Can you imagine being born in another country and you are poor as dirt and you have to beg just to have something to eat? And would you be happy? Or are we so spoiled rotten because the Lord has blessed us to live in the richest nation in all the world, where even the poorest of the poor are rich by world standards, and we're just a bunch of crybabies? I think about these things. I want you to look at verse 7, our attitude, for we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. And you know what? I think about this verse. And I think about James chapter 4, verse 14, that life is just a vapor and it's going to be over with very soon. You know, if I waste this life seeking the things of this world and not putting a priority on spiritual things and laying that treasure up in heaven, I have wasted my life. And it's going to be over with so soon, I can already see the end of it. I can see the time that it's going to be over. I can see the time when I'm going to be physically unable. And if I put the emphasis on the physical, and if I am not content to do the work of God today with whatever physical situation I may be in, then I have wasted my life. And then I don't know about you as you think about these things, but I'll tell you about my thoughts. If I waste my life here chasing after the physical, I do not believe that I will hear from the Lord one day, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. I don't believe I'll hear that. If I'm a lukewarm Christian, I don't think I'll hear that. What do you think about when you think on these things? Well, turn your Bibles with me over to Philippians chapter 4, and I want to share with you a few closing thoughts. Thoughts you have thought about before, but I hope you're challenged this morning to think about them once again. Philippians chapter 4, and beginning in verse 11, there's two words I want you to pull out of this, and we're not going to talk about everything with the scripture here. I want you to pull out the word learn and the word secret as I read from the New American Standard. Not that I speak from what? Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. And so I thought at the very end of this lesson, I needed to express very shortly, very briefly, and I know we've talked about these things before, I want to tell you the secret very quickly. The secret is Christ. And investing our entire life in Him, that is the secret. Turn your Bibles with me to verse 4. Verse 4. And we can spend an entire lesson or even many lessons on these few verses, but I want to go over them very quickly so that we look at the forest rather than looking at every single tree in these verses. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And brethren, this is where we make our first mistake. I'm talking for personal experience, is when our rejoicing is in things other than the Lord, and maybe it's in a bright, shiny gas grill. That's our first mistake. Verse 5, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Knowing and realizing that the Lord is near, He is close to you, He is in your life, He is working in your life. That you pray to God and God answers your prayer, every single one of them, whether it's yes, no, or not now. And because of that, your attitude that you express towards others is that of gentleness, because your reliance is upon God, not upon anyone else, and certainly not upon anything else. Verse 7, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. Praying, your requests, your supplications, the specific things, your prayers, the general things. And all of this with thanksgiving. And brethren, my experience is if I am thankful about all of God's blessings in my life, there is no room for discontentment. No room whatsoever. Verse 8, keep your mind on the right things. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is anything, any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. My experience is, as long as my mind stays on the right thing, I'll be content in the Lord to do the Lord's work and not chasing after the almighty dollar. Verse 9, do the things we learn from the Word of God. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. If we're doing these things, rejoicing in the Lord, understanding that He's in our life, praying to Him with thanksgiving, having our mind on the right things, doing those things taught in the Bible, brethren, we have learned the secret to happiness. And that's what's at work in our life. Are you content? Have you learned the secrets? Is the secret at work in your life? Think about that. I hope it's stimulating for you this morning. And I hope all of us will take it and grow a little bit more as Christians, because each of us can do that. We're going to extend the gospel invitation, trust and obey. Trust and obey, number 326, if you'd like to get your songbooks out. And in a very simple way of putting it, that's what we're talking about. Trust God. Obey God. Seek to do His work first in your life. Make everything else second in your life. And whatever your life is composed of, you'll be happy and you'll be content. How content are you this morning? If we can help you, won't you come to the front now in response to the gospel of Jesus Christ?